City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to this Mandan edition of City Current. I'm Mary Van Sickle with Dakota Media Access, and we are here in our studios on Wednesday, September 20th. And because it's a Mandan edition, Jim Neubauer is here, City Administrator.
Good morning, Mary. How are you?
I'm good. Very How good. About you?
Awesome.
All right. And also with us today is Chief of Police Jason Ziegler.
Good morning, Mary. How are you doing?
Good. And thanks for being here today. So we're going to talk a lot about the police department in just a few minutes. But before we do, I thought we'd touch on what happened last night with the Bismarck City Commission, or Mandan City Commission.
Right.
I'm getting confused in my city currents here. Not a huge agenda. It was a pretty sparse agenda, actually.
A light agenda last night, although one of the most important things we had on there was the public hearing for our 2018 budget.
The budget.
Right. So by law, we have to have a public hearing on our budget, which starts at 6 o'clock last night. We had a couple of our residents come up and share their feelings and their opinions on our 2018 proposed budget. Commission listened to those and then took action to approve the budget as it was presented. So right now we are, you know, full-blown completed with our 2018 budget. Not that there aren't changes that occur through amendments throughout the year, but for the, you know, the final step of the commission was to approve that last night, and they did.
You're all ready to go.
Correct.
Everybody's got a job next year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, some of the highlights are we're, you know, as most of you have known, we're going to increase the number of mills that we levy, and also some slight increases in our water and sewer charges, which are typical happen because, you know, our costs go up from year to year. No new hires, and also the commission agreed to put 2.5% into a pot in which to, you know, provide some employee salary adjustments.
I think that was interesting. I was joking about job security, but I think that's a good point. And the employees of the city of Mandan have not had any type of wage adjustment in 2 years.
Right. Since 2015, we've held the line on salaries because we had a decrease in state aid and also our highway tax money that we get. We've kind of dipped into our general fund reserves to the tune of about $2.5 million over the last few years to try and keep our tax increases minimal. And also we've been, you know, lowering the number of mills that we've levied. But this year we kind of had to bite the bullet and say we need to replenish some of those general fund monies and pay for, you know, items like snow removal last year. And hopefully we don't
have another.
Which
was larger than anticipated.
Yeah, we had roughly $500,000 in snow removal costs last year that, you know, we budget maybe $20,000 to $30,000 a year.
Can't plan for that.
When you've got a year with $400,000 or $500,000 in snow removal costs, it's tough to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, well, but again, at the end of the day, commission approved the budget, so we'll move on from here.
And also regarding employment or staffing at the city, then there's no new hires next year.
Right, no new hires, and we've held the line on that for the last several years, is that we are not increasing the number of folks that we have on the payroll for the city.
Considering the growth of the city, that's
Everybody's kind of has a little more to do when it comes to the number of street miles that have been added and other things that go on within the city. We're, like I said, we're holding the line on new employees and our new positions. We are filling openings as we can, but we're also, like I said, holding the line on number of positions that we have.
New positions.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's amazing. As you drive around Mandan, the building just continues. I was down in the Lakewood area not too long ago and was overwhelmed with the growth down there.
Building permits still remain steady for us. Our sales tax collections over the last year have actually risen, which is a good thing because we use part of our sales tax collections to offset property tax. And so all of that are good signs. We've got several new restaurants and eating establishments that are coming online within the next, you know, 6 to 12 to 18 months. So we're pretty excited about that. It's been one of our focal points for business development. And what we hear residents want, we want more places to eat. And we hopefully we'll see maybe 4 additional dining establishments coming online in the next 12 months. So we're pretty happy about
that. Right. And I'm sure we'll be talking about that as we go forward.
Absolutely.
So this growth also affects the police department. Obviously, you're patrolling streets, you're in these new neighborhoods, and it certainly must have an impact on the police department.
It actually does, because, you know, with the staffing holding the line and stuff, and It does make some challenges when it comes to assigning your shifts, your operations, your power shifts, trying to get officers time off to spend with their family. So there is some dynamics with growth that is just, it does stress every department with inside the city, and the police department's no different than that.
Well, you've just come off two big events in the city of Mandan, and one of them is probably a once-in-a-lifetime type event, and that was the visit of President Trump to the Andeavor Refinery. Big event for the city. How was the police department involved in this? You were working with another group, but I'm sure you were involved. So explain a little bit about that.
Yeah, I got a phone call from the Secret Service over in Fargo. It was the Wednesday before the president arrived. And they basically said our city's going to get really busy. And so I was like, okay. So we had meetings on it, and we sat down and we discussed. Most of the stuff that the Secret Service was concerned about was the route to the location and the location itself. So everything outside there with inside the city, because if you know where the refinery is, it's in the county, but everything surrounding it's the city. So if there's going to be any problems, it's going to be on the city streets.
Sure.
So we just had to set up. We had several operation meetings. Met with Bismarck's chief, Dan Donlin. Sheriff Heiner came to it. In Highway Patrol, we all sat down and discussed what our roles were going to be during the entire event. So, and then we did a mutual aid request to MetroCast Fargo to come in to help just in case we needed the extra support.
Oh, that's great. Did the Secret Service bring in quite a team of people then?
They did, but we didn't really, once it started going, we didn't do a lot of interaction with them. They were kind of secret, if you can say that. They were more concerned about the route to and the location itself. And they did keep us informed on what they were doing, but they had some, meetings where it was just specific to what they were doing. So we focused on the city and making sure the city was safe, that there was free speech zones where people could, protest peacefully, and that we could still enforce the laws. So, we had our shifts set up to do that.
And traffic was a little bit tricky. I think that was the event around 2:30, right when school's getting out. I heard there was a little backup, but all in all, it seemed like pretty smooth operation.
It was. It couldn't have went off any better than what we planned. When you make a plan, you always think, is this going to be good enough? And I think it went off just the way we wanted it to go off. Yeah. It was a long day, but we were very happy at the end of the way it turned out.
It was kind of a challenge for the department to see if everybody could step up. And
I think one of the great things about it, you have a big event that is non-eventful.
Exactly.
And so from our standpoint, if we've got folks in position and in place to do what they need to do, and that's all they have to do is be there, that means we've had a successful doing.
Everybody
and,
was safe.
And like I said, I think
Correct.
This went off without a hitch.
Yeah.
And, a couple things here and there that are, kind of humorous in the light, but you look at it and you go, for all practical purposes, this was a great event for Mandan, a great event for, even Bismarck,
sure.
Morton County. We had sheriff's deputies inside the event that were there helping us. And so, like I said, it was a good event, and we're glad that it went off uneventful.
Yeah, once in a lifetime probably, huh?
I would say once in a lifetime.
So the other event that just happened is an annual event?
Well, it was the first annual.
Oh, this is the first.
This was the first. And kind of how we developed it is there's the National Night Out Shine Line on Crime that happens in August.
Okay.
And we couldn't participate this year because that's when we go back to school. So all those back to school events are going on. So we couldn't really do that. So I sat down with Sergeant Whitaker and I said, listen, let's still do something, but let's put it in September. So he came up with the whole idea and the concept of grilling with a cop. And I said, that is a great concept. Let's go with it. So I kind of just turned him loose.
Not grill a cop, but grilling with a cop.
Okay. So we went ahead and did that. And, I can remember it was probably about 3 or 4 days beforehand. He was like, I don't know how many people are going to show up this thing. We're not getting a lot of feedback. And, there was a few hits on our Facebook. And
this was at Eagles Park?
It was at Eagles Park up in Mandan, off Collins.
Okay.
So I told him, I said, you know what? It's the first event. So let's just see how it goes. I said, if we get 50 people, we get 100 people, it's successful. We got extra food that we can, you know, donate to the homeless shelter or whatever we want to do with it. And so he went with it. And what a night it was, though. When we got there and we set things up and to see the turnout, we had well over 500 people that came through.
That's
so
great for a first-year event.
It was. It was extremely successful.
So you had Cloverdale and Butcher Block, you said, give some food, and you were out there grilling and...
Yes. Cloverdale gave us the hot dogs, the famous red Cloverdale hot dogs. They gave us the grills that we used out there. So we appreciate that. Butcher Block gave us the hamburgers. McDonald's and Mandan gave us hamburger buns. Dan's Supermarket gave us chips and condiments and stuff like that. And the Langang family donated $264 in cash to the event. So we really appreciate those support, because those events' success depends on those in-kind donations. It's really tough to build an event like that into your budget.
Well, and I would assume that these types of events are very important to your department.
It is.
Working with the community in ways that are different from your day-to-day activities.
Correct. Yeah, community outreach is so important. And the one thing that, you know, we got to keep in mind is that we're there to serve our community. And the way that we can serve our community best is for our community to understand us and know us.
Sure.
And know us as individuals, not just as the police officer stops and writes you a ticket or comes to your assistance when you're in trouble. So this was something to where the community could actually see a police officer as a human.
Yeah. And you do that throughout the year. We saw some pictures about the certificates you're giving young kids for wearing bike helmets. Certificates for ice cream, I believe?
Yes, Dairy Queen gives out certificates to the police to give out. And if we see a young citizen out there riding their bike with their helmet on, we stop and give them a Dairy Queen ticket. And then actually the ticket's not necessarily just for that, because there's several things that if they're being good citizens and doing what they're supposed to.
That does a lot, yeah.
Yeah, there's like a checklist on the certificate. We check what it is. And then the officer puts the name with their ID number on it, and then the kid can take it to Dairy Queen and get their ice cream.
It really helps for young people to get an early exposure to law enforcement as well, and not just the lights when you're driving and you see lights behind you, it's more of a panic if you feel that way. From the time you're young, if you're exposed to them as humans and friends and helpers in the community, I think it makes a big difference, too.
I agree.
Yeah.
Mary, I think that's the biggest part about the community outreach, is that we're there to help people. We're not there to be the bad guy. We're not there to be, you know, and it's getting the citizens involved with the police department, get to know our officers that are out there, because they're doing a great job. And like I said, they can ask questions of us, and we're not going to, you know, we're not going to arrest someone. We're going to pull you over and give you a ticket for ice cream because you're doing things right.
Exactly.
Not just because you might find something doing something wrong. Yeah. Not that we won't do that too, but I think the community engagement has been a big part of what we've been trying to do lately.
Right. Well, and most of your time is spent on public safety and intervening in emergency situations. So, and there's never enough people.
Correct.
Your staff is a little sparse at this point in time, and that you've been out looking for new officers and are continuously looking for new officers for the department. It's a bit of a challenge, as I understand.
It is. Recruiting good police officers is, I think it's going to be something that is going to constantly be there, because it's not a profession for everybody. It takes a very specific type of person to make a career in law enforcement. And not only does it affect the individual who becomes a police officer, it also affects their family. So it really, you know, and I always tell people, you know, my biggest hero is my wife, because she stood by my side through all the times that I get called out. And, you know, the policing profession is not a very glorious profession for a family life. It's shift work. It's, you know, being away from your family for long durations of times and stuff like that. So
there's a personal toll.
There is. And some families can't deal with it. So to try to recruit people into this profession and tell them, hey, it's a great profession, which it is. It's mm-hmm. In my opinion, it's the world's greatest profession. It's the only profession in the world that you can go from saving a life to tragedy in a matter of minutes, mm-hmm. the emotional roller coaster and stuff. So it takes a very specific type of person to be able to deal with that stuff.
Absolutely.
And it's not easy to recruit those people. And there's people that we get in that we hire and everything looks good on paper, but when they get into the job, they, you know, about 2 months into it, we've just had a couple of them just said, I can't do this job. This isn't for me. This isn't. And they resign from the position. So that creates our turnover.
Well, you're exposing them on a pretty regular basis to some high stress situations.
Every day.
Domestic calls, traffic accidents, tragedies, emergencies. I mean, when you're in that all day, every day, that's definitely
that is tough. And the kind of couple that is that's why these community events are so important, that these police officers,
sure.
because they like to be people too. Like during the grilling yeah. with the cop, they play kickball with kids
yeah.
in uniform. And you know, that was probably one of the biggest highlights that parents responded to, is they couldn't believe that the police officers are out there playing with their kids, playing kickball and just being people. Hmm. And so it's hard in a profession where you're looked at as the enforcer, the one that's coming to apply justice and then turn around and be a friend.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's a very difficult roller coaster of a career, mm-hmm. and it is tough to recruit that.
And you said earlier that this is a national issue. This isn't just the city of Mandan who has a challenge filling these positions. This is something that we see across the country.
You're absolutely right. You know, when you look from city to city, county to county, you'll always see this turnover rate. Some of it is just by natural attrition through retirements and stuff like that. But a large bulk of it is just trying to recruit good people. You know, and
the nature of the work and the toll on the family, the personal sacrifice that's involved.
Absolutely right.
All come into play. I think that we'd like to show your webpage, mandanpd.com.
Yes, ma'am.
We want to bring that up and just show people that you do have a lot of information here. And one of those things that you can find on your website is employment opportunity. So if this is something that's interesting to you, and I'm looking for that on the, there we go. There's a place to go in and find out how you can apply, what you're looking for, qualifications, those types of things. I think that's really important. People should be looking at that if they're interested at all.
I agree with you.
Yeah. And then you also have a Facebook page, Mandan Police Department on Facebook. So you can go in there and look at, this has a lot of information. We were looking at it yesterday in anticipation of this event here, and just saw a lot of information. So sign up for the Facebook page so you can get feeds in there from what's going on in Mandan, from everything from your events like Grill Fest to issues that you're dealing with, people that you're looking for.
Correct.
Video.
Yep.
Surveillance video that has been found, where you might be looking for an individual in the community. That's really interesting. I mean, we have great news departments in our community, but they can't do everything. They can't get all this information out for you on a continuous basis. But this is great if people want to sign up, citizens of Mandan, to find out what's going on in the police department, some concerns that might be happening at the moment. So it's great social media.
As we pull up that Facebook page, Mary, I think you'll see the white car or the white Ford Interceptor.
Oh.
And we are now
mm-hmm.
in the process of changing over the color scheme for the Mandan PD vehicles.
New vehicles so for the police department.
I think we have one out in the fleet right now that you will see black with gold lettering and the blue stripe.
Well, it's actually, it's a subdued silver lettering.
Okay.
It depends on what angle you look at it, which is kind of neat.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, and then we've got the Mandan blue is what we call the stripe on it.
Okay.
And then the lettering at the bottom of it says the city of Mandan.
I think we had a picture of that earlier. Maybe we'll try and pop that up, what the new ones look like. So this is the old police vehicles, and there we go.
There's the new
one. Thank you for bringing that up. And yeah, black with subdued silver. Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's a reflective subdued silver. It's almost like a platinum color when you look at it. But when you get different angles, and that's probably where Jim's seen it kind of does have a gold tint to it from different angles. So it's designed to stick out so you can see it on it's police.
So will your whole fleet be converted to these vehicles next year?
Well, we've got four new cars coming in next year.
Okay. Right.
So all four of those will be the same color scheme and lettering and stuff. So
I think to tie in to when we change out vehicles as part of our budget process, moving back there a little bit, we will take our former police vehicles and move them out into other areas of the city or other departments to use. So we're kind of trying to save, some money by not buying new vehicles.
Additional life in them.
Right. So like Chief said, we'll transition four of the current vehicles out. And we're doing our best to recycle because usually, the cops put a lot of miles on them.
Well, and they need reliable vehicles.
Right.
Correct.
Out where they're at, whereas maybe
a city administrator doesn't need that reliable vehicle, which we'll find out tomorrow. I think we really like the new color scheme on there. It's a kind of a breath of fresh air for the PD, and I think I think Chief will tell you that the officers have been involved in picking the colors.
They were,
and so it's not a top down. Here's where it's going.
Correct.
They've had a lot of input, and
they did.
We appreciate that, and this is what they've chosen, and we think it's a pretty swanky new vehicle.
Yeah. How many officers are currently in the Mandan Police Department?
Including myself, we have 37 sworn officers.
Okay.
So, and like I said, we've got three openings currently now that we're processing applicants for. So.
Okay. And then the fleet is, how big is the fleet of vehicles?
Right now we have nine.
Okay.
And, part of the thing that I've been working with Jim is we're trying to increase that fleet a little bit because with that many officers, those cars get rotated out, and it's nice to have a couple cars that are set aside and stuff. But we understand also that when budgets are tight, we got to do what we got to do. So that's why the cars get a lot of miles on them but we've been working at trying. When I first came in, we had seven cars. Now we have got nine cars in our fleet.
So do you have any new developments or changes coming with operations like shifts and those? How do the shifts work within the department?
They're not necessarily new developments or operations, but when I came in, I switched us to a more of a bureau format where I have two police bureaus with inside the police department. I've got a support service and a patrol bureau, and each of them are headed up by a deputy chief. And it's more of a more personalized approach where the officers and supervisors can have a voice more up instead of having to go all the way to the chief every time for everything. The deputy chiefs of their bureaus can make subtle changes throughout as needed. They can adjust. It's fluid.
Okay.
And so then we want to a platoon format on our patrol squad. So we've got two platoons, an A platoon and a B platoon, and each platoon has a squad, a day shift and a night shift. And then when A's on, B's off, and vice versa. So it also helps us in the aspect when an event like the President Trump coming in, if we need extra manpower, the off shift, we know who that is, we bring those in. We bring officers in from the off shift. So it's a lot easier for us to adjust. Plus it gives us overlapping shifts to where we can put a power shift in and stuff like that. So it gives the lieutenants the ability to control their two squads and adjust as manpower is needed based upon calls for service.
Okay. I was wondering about crime in Mandan. Are there concerns? Are there any trends that you're seeing that you're becoming more aware of that the citizens should know about? Anything that you want to bring up that way?
Yeah, crime is always going to be a constant in any community. And I always say when there's 22,000 people in an area, you're always going to have something. And crime fluctuates from year to year, whether it's up or down. Some trends that we're seeing, is of course everybody's well aware of the opioid problems that we have, the overdoses and stuff. That's an addiction issue and stuff. And police do get involved with that stuff.
And speaking of that, Chief, do you want to Tell us a little bit about the training that you just went through.
Well, we just started yesterday. Our officers are going through Narcan training, so they're learning how to use Narcan. The main intent for the Narcan is for the police officers specifically. So if they come in contact with something...
With an overdose
where they get exposed to it, that we can save our police officers. But we're not telling them that they can't help a citizen either. Mm-hmm. So, and fortunately for us, like Metro Ambulance and the fire department also have Narcan on them. So we're starting to get some. We put some Narcan down in our crime lab at the police department. So if somebody opens up something when they're processing it, and it's
that lethal.
It is that lethal.
Being exposed to it.
Yes. Wow. And fentanyl is the dangerous one. Just a little amount that would go on the tip of a pen is lethal to a human. Hmm. So that's why we're really, really trying to get this under control. Our drug task force is doing an excellent job on it. So our metro area task force. And, so those are things to always just, keep in mind is what, those are some dangers of the job that you don't even realize are there. Something as simple as going on to try to help somebody getting exposed to something, the bloodborne pathogens and stuff like that. So there's a lot of different things, but
it's a big concern right now.
Correct.
And Mandan is part of the community Gold Star Task Force, I believe, working on this as well.
Correct. Yes, I sat on that with the Bismarck mayor.
We're out of time.
Well, I just want
anything else you wanted to bring up?
Two shout outs, I think, because the next time we will be here will be October 4th. I believe the next commission meeting is October 3rd. We've got Oktoberfest from the Mandan Progress Organization coming up on September.
Another big event.
Another big event on September 30th. So downtown in Dykstra Park, you can go to Mandan Progress Organization's website and find out more information. And also on Friday, September 29th, we've got the opening of the Starian Sports Complex. Mandan football, or the Mandan High School's homecoming game. We'll be at the new field.
Facility.
And so that's all, we're pretty pleased to see that. We've got some road improvements that have just wrapped up this past week to help account for visitors
traffic
to that and traffic, and the police force will be there directing traffic after, or before, during, and after the game, because we expect there's being a good crowd. So we're pretty excited to have that grand opening in Mandan, and it'll be a big day for Mandan.
Well, thanks for bringing that up.
Yep.
All right, and thanks for being here again.
Thank you very much.
All right, and thank you for
joining us today. You're very welcome.
And thank you for joining us for this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.